It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And I am super excited today because today we are starting, it's not a new segment of the show, but it's kind of a new feature. And we're going to be doing this, from time to time on the show. We're going to take a look at some songs. We're going to look at the titles, the lyrics, and, we're not going to over-spiritualize the songs, especially if the artist or the band didn't intend for the song to be meant that way. But these are songs that mean a lot to myself and to Ace. And so we put together what we're calling, and also the name of this show, the Beacon of Truth Playlist. Okay, the Beacon of Truth Playlist. And we're starting off today. The first song on our playlist is going to be We're All God's People by Queen. I want to talk about that song. We're both going to talk about the song. But Ace, let's talk about how this came to be. Well, first of all, I guess from my perspective, whenever we talk about music, we have music in the show, which is something very unique. A lot of people like it when we play that bumper music and comment on it. Yeah. And then we have Music Week.
Yes.
Where we spent a week talking about music and musical influences and music at Mass and all different aspects of music. And we got lots of calls, lots of response back as a result of that show. So, we both felt like we hit on something here when it comes to the musical element. And not just talking about music for the sake of music, but kind of tying in our faith with music as well. So, and then it was you actually who came up with the thought of doing this kind of feature for Beacon of Truth.
Well, and you and I are always, sending music, through text message. Hey, have you heard this? Oh, you got to listen to that. So when you have someone like that, that you, are really invested into musically, A, it's hard not to have a spiritual connection. And B, for me, I love suggesting bands or songs for people because every song's going to hit somebody differently. So the way to me, just being as a musician, to evangelize and to deepen a connection with someone, like I had a conversation with someone today that just got a turntable and found out that their dad had like boxes and boxes of vinyl stuck in storage that she was going to go get. And I was like, please tell me what you find. Like, I cannot wait because there's just something like, how we've talked about, as you take on the character of Christ, you can't, once you embrace who Christ is and you understand who he is to us, it's hard not to emulate him as we're trying to be Christ-like, because the more we get to know him, it's like anyone, the more you know your parents, the more you're like them. The more you're hanging out with your friends, the more you're like them, right? So in that music, I don't know how to separate the two. To me, my spiritual life and my musical life always go hand in hand. So for a non-musician, that might not make sense. But if you're just a passive music lover that goes to shows and you've got all your favorite playlists, then you understand that connection, that identity with someone. But to me, to create the connection with people who listen to this show to the point that it takes them to that next level with God, to me, music is the natural place because of who you and I are. I think of myself as a musician first and then broadcaster second. Music, people always go, hey, so what do you play? I'm a drummer. Like 100%. I am drummer first. Everything else I play it like a drummer. Like I think like a drummer. I process it like a drummer. So it's hard when it becomes such a part of your fabric to not interweave it into everything. So hopefully when we do these playlist shows, you're hearing songs that you're going to hear on the radio and you hear it from a perspective that you take something away spiritually. Or if it's a song that you identify with in your pain, how can we help you absorb out of that by leaning into Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. And, for myself, my father was a professional musician. He cr created albums. I played on one or two of his records actually, and playing calypso, Caribbean music. So that's in my blood ever since I was little, hearing my father create that music and hear other Caribbean artists, the Mighty Sparrow and Griner, and guys like that creating that kind of genre, that kind of music. And so we always grew up with music in the house. So I've always had an appreciation for music. As a middle as a grade schooler, I was in the school choir.
Same.
As I found that I can, I kind of had a voice. And what really moved me with music, it wasn't the, like, for example, in church, I played guitar and mass in church and sang. And those were great songs. But then there were other songs that moved me spiritually as well. So it's not just the church music that moved me spiritually. There were other songs, like certain harmonies or certain riffs or certain patterns or certain chord changes that just did something in me, and I just wanted more of that. I just wanted to be part of it. I just started absorbing basically almost every kind of genre of music, and then learning music and why this chord progression feels so good. What chord works where, and if you're playing, you can substitute a minor third when you're playing a whole tone. It, all those kinds of things, it just became just literally part of me. Like even learning how to sing, I would take a Queen song, for example, like Jealousy. And there's a part where, if only you could see just what, oh, jealousy. I'd lift the needle up, pull it back, and then, oh, jealousy, sing the other harmony, then lift the needle, put it back, and sing the other, until I could try to sing as many harmony parts that I could hear, and that is what developed my ear. I think that's what developed my voice, and that's what, so, and those are just cherished memories. Learning, stopping the record and learning how to play this chord, it's just, I just have some fond memories, and to be able to take these songs now, and again, not over spiritualize it, but share them with people in a way that maybe a lyric or something here may be moving them to a closer relationship with God. I think that's exciting.
Well, and I always like to tell people when they talk about, well, I could never play an instrument or I'm not really musical. I go, listen, you Google just how to play a C scale, and then you Google every song ever written that's only in C, and you will be amazed at how quickly you could go out on the road and actually play gigs just by knowing the C scale. Don't fancify it. Don't learn any minors or any of that stuff. I said, you would be amazed. And I said, and then once that comes to life, then you're like, well, what happens if I do play a minor? Or what happens if I do change the key? You know, there's all these things. And I think Paul McCartney said, we all have the same 12 notes of the songs that haven't been written yet. So what you do with the 12 notes is going to be different than what I do with the 12 notes. And the same thing goes with our spiritual life. The way you read a psalm is going to be different in the way that I might read it or understand it. But as we talk about it and talk about how it moves us, we get closer. We talk about our struggles. We find out we're not alone in all of the stupid things we've done in our lives. I mean, what an amazing connection that that can be with someone.
No, absolutely. And it takes your relationship to a different place too, because music is one of those topics that you could talk about forever with someone,
Agreed.
because those sometimes you're in a conversation, there's that awkward silence or that awkward pause. Who, well, okay, what do we talk about now? What do you say now? But with music, it's just so many different aspects and so many different flavors and so many different ways of experiencing, your faith and God in that music. So like I said, I've had some deep experience just listening to secular groups because the chord change or the solo, it's like, oh my goodness, yes. It's almost like it's a truly spiritual experience.
Well,
And that's something that can't be negated,
And think
So
about when you,
we're going to be exploring that
and think
on
about
this.
when you have people over, the kind of music you play in the background sets the tone for everyone's mood, right? And it opens the conversation. People might talk that wouldn't have normally naturally gravitated to each other. And it's there's just so much to this series as we sprinkle it in over the course of the rest of the year and beyond. It's just going to really bring us into a better understanding of each other and who God is in our life. It's might even birth some musicians along the way.
That's right. That's right. One thing though that we want to try to explore is whether we could actually play parts of the song without getting in trouble, like copyright stuff, or because Utah might ban the show because we're taking. I mean, I don't know if we can do that or not. Occasionally I may take a guitar and maybe play that. Yeah. They can't take that if I'm playing the song myself. So I have to figure out how to get my guitar in here and get that
off. We'll find out all the legalities. But in the meantime.
All right. Well, on Beacon of Truth, we're doing the Beacon of Truth playlist. We're taking a listen to We're All God's People by Queen. Would love to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
There is something about a build. You're like, where are they going? I don't care. I'm in it.
That's so cool. I like that. Yeah, it reminds me of back at Notre Dame, the bands of the REM and those bands at that time. It was awesome. 100%. Great memories.
Yeah.
Great memories. Love that. He picks great stuff all the time for this bumper.
Thanks, man.
That's some good stuff.
Three chords and a grin. I'm there for it.
Where you listen to Beacon of Truth, I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're starting a new feature of Beacon of Truth. We're calling it the Beacon of Truth playlist. So we're every once in a while, we're going to be having this feature of the show. It is going to be the theme of the whole show. We're going to pick a song that Ace and I have been building a list of songs, and we're going to talk about them from a faith perspective. So again, we're not going to try to over spiritualize the song so that the song doesn't become something that the artist or band didn't intend it to be, but they meant something to us and they moved us in a spiritual way. And so we're going to talk about that. Would love for you to be part of the program. Send us an email beacon@ewtn.com.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to add to our list, that's always fun, too. We want to let you know the EWTN Religious Catalog and email can actually keep you up on not only what great things you can do to add to your holy reminders, your devotions, all the things that you want swag-wise, but it's always great when you buy Catholic and shop EWTN RC. Just subscribe to the Religious Catalog email. Go to EWTN.com and click subscribe.
All right, well, when you hear that music, it's time for us to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And we're looking at Psalm 98 today. Psalm 98. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 98 in the book, in the wisdom literature, as it's called. So Ecclesiastes, wisdom, the Psalms, Proverbs are all part of that section of the Bible, the wisdom literature, as it's called. We're looking at Psalm 98, and in this section of the Sefer Telechim, as it's called in Hebrew, the Book of Sung Praises, the Hebrew hymnal, this is in Book 4 of the Psalms, so Psalms 90-106. And many of the Psalms in this section are unattributed. So, in other words, we don't know who the author of these songs are, and the prescript doesn't give us any idea from most of these Psalms in Book 4. But one thing that we do know is that we're using the Revised Grail Psalms. That's the one that I'm using, Revised Grail Psalms, which is approved for use in the Mass and is compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And so this psalm starts off very simply. Verse 1, the prescript just says a psalm, or mizmor. In Hebrew, mizmor, it's a psalm, but it's Basically, mizmor means a song sung to a harp or something like that. Music that's meant to be accompanied, I guess is one way you can translate that as well. And so this psalm starts off, "Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has worked wonders. His right hand and his holy arm have brought salvation." All right. So again, obviously we're talking about music, so I want to have a song that they're talking about singing, and here we go. So again, sing to the Lord. In other words, raise your voice in exaltation and praise to God. I try to do that every day. So as I'm walking through the house, or I'm in the airport walking to the gate, or wherever I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In my heart, just be mindful of the great grace. At least for me to be able to do what God has called me to do. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to this opportunity to speak to these particular group of people that you've put me in front of. And I have a prayer ritual before every single talk. It's just like a concert, right? To me, I treat my speaking engagements like gigs, like a musical gig. I warm up, I prepare, I'm on the road, I'm packing. Good night, Seattle, and good night, Los Angeles, and off to the next city. And I really think of what I do as a musician, and so I approach the Psalms this way. I approach the work that God has called me to do as a speaker and an author that way, so very musical in my approach. But it's probably why I love the Psalms so much. It's his right hand and his holy arm. So the right hand, again, nothing against left-handed people, but the right hand is the oath-swearing hand. It's the power hand. So even in the scriptures, Jesus, says that those that are going to be the chaff are going to go to the left, and the wheat are going to go to the right. Who's going to sit at the right hand of God, right? And we use language like that to show that that's where God's power, God's seat is at his right hand. And what does that right hand do? It doesn't bring condemnation. It doesn't bring death. It brings salvation. The Lord has made known his salvation. How has he made that known? Through Jesus Christ. Now, remember, we're talking about the Psalms here, written long before Jesus was born. But the Lord has made known his salvation. He tried to make that salvation known through the six covenants he tried to establish in the Old Testament, but finally had to send his son to establish the new and everlasting covenant, right? So he has made known his salvation personally in Jesus Christ. He has shown his deliverance to the nations, right? Because what does Jesus say in Matthew 28:19? Go and make disciples of all nations, right? Not just for the people of Israel. All nations may come to know and to love and to serve the Lord. He has remembered his merciful love and his truth for the house of Israel, right? Mercy and faithfulness have met. Justice and peace have embraced, we read in the scriptures, right? So mercy, faithfulness, love, truth, right? Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is a distributor of God's manifold grace and merciful love, right? So that comes to us personally in the person of Jesus, Then all, it says all, and probably some of you have heard this line before, "All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God," right? When, no matter where you go in the world, people will see the salvation of God when we're not afraid to stand up and witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. When we're willing to proclaim Jesus Christ, then all the ends of the earth will come to know the salvation of the living God, who desires nothing but love and intimacy with us. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing out your praise, right? So how do we do this in the world? Well, nature does this by simply being what God created it to be. They got it easy. A water, a beautiful cascading waterfall is singing out the praises to the, when you hear that water rushing and you see that water cascading down the side of the mountain and crashing on the rocks below, and you hear the rush of the water in the river. That's the song that nature, that river and that waterfall is praising God. When you hear a frog croak, right? Or a bird sing, that's how they're singing out and praising God by simply being who God created them to be. So for us, which is one another reason why we're doing this particular feature of the show, the Beacon of Truth playlist, we're going to say, well, how do we honor and worship God through song, mm-hmm. right? And make that connection, just like nature, because we're part of created nature as well. But yet, there's a distinctiveness because we're made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard. It's easy to, you know, read this passage and hear the song, you know, shout to the Lord all the earth. Like, yeah. It's hard not to. And no matter who you are in your faith, like, I mean, they've done it on American Idol, and there's been, you know, every cover of it done in, you know, various formats. But again, it's about the rocks crying out. It's about that there is not a single thing that God has created that does not worship him back, or have a longing to worship him back. And whether we're doing it with loud cymbals and trumpets and voices and whatever, you know, you can do it even with a sour note, because it's still for the glory and honor of God.
And you may be doing it even though you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the atheist that goes to render aid to earthquake victims in Haiti or Bangladesh or someplace like that, you know, now, what makes atheists want to do that? You know, we as Christians do it because that's our part of our part of our clarion call, mm-hmm. right? Whatever happens to my brother happens to me. You feed the hungry, you take the thirsty, clothe the naked. What you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. That's our mandate from Christ.
Right.
But what about an atheist? See, they're singing, right? Because they're responding to that natural moral law. They may not recognize it. They may not understand it. They may not even believe it.
Yeah.
But that's why they have that heart to help someone that's in need, because that was planted there by God, whether they want to believe it or whether they know it or not. And that's how they sing to the Lord, by responding out of love to help a brother or sister in need.
Yeah. Well, and I know this is going to sound cocky, but it's the way I think, is that if we only truly knew what was truly a movement of God, instead of our own actions or heart, or I'm a nice person, or I get along with people. Are you kidding me? That's all God inside of you. And once you acknowledge it, it only enhances, you know, and that's not to sound cocky. So I hope it doesn't come off that way, but that's, I say that also to myself in wanting to understand all the parts that are already in me that are of him, so that they come out naturally. Because, right, there's a choreography that people feel like that has to go with our faith. And while, yes, there is to a degree, some of it you already know, because you're already doing it. You're already being the person God created you for.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and in this journey of life, let's be real, you may hit some sour notes. what do you call it? You're out.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
If you're out. You know, it's like, oh, that note, ooh, you know, and that happens to us sometimes.
True.
When we stop listening to the voice of the Lord, the singing out in our hearts, and follow the ways of the world, you know, we walk away from light into the darkness. You know, it's funny. Whenever I hear that from light into the darkness, I think of roaches. You know, the roaches are escaping, you know, from the, in fact, when the light goes on, they run away.
Yeah.
They seek the darkness.
Right.
You know, they shun the light and seek the darkness because they feel safe. They want to hide there. And that's not natural for us.
Yeah.
You know? So, oh, good. If I get to finish another half of the song, another time. Outstanding. Well, today we're starting a new feature of Beacon of Truth, the Beacon of Truth playlist. We're going to be listening to We're All God's People by Queen, talking about it. Would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
This is one of those where when you go to the show, everybody, they're bouncing.
Oh, yeah.
Bobbing the head behind the dashboard.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That's definitely one of those songs. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Just kind of laying back. I love that. Well, we're starting a new feature of Beacon of Truth today. Very excited. We're going to start a series of shows called just the Beacon of Truth playlist. Mm. So, you know, here and there, we're going to be interspersing shows. We're looking at songs, either by the title or by the lyrics. You know, we're going to be reacting to it. Ace and I are going to be reacting to it from a spiritual perspective. Again, we don't want to dishonor the artist or the band by over-spiritualizing the song and then making it to something that they never intended it to be. But these are songs that have meant something to us, that have moved us in a spiritual way. And we just want to talk about that, you know, and make that connection with these songs. So today we're going to be starting off by talking about We're All God's People by Queen off their Innuendo album. And would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
We want to, of course, say thanks to Teresa Tamayo. She helps to bring a Catholic perspective to what's happening in the world. So if you want to catch her each and every day, Monday through Friday, you can do that tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, so the song that we're going to start off this new feature, Beacon of Truth playlist, is a song off Queen's last album where Freddie Mercury was alive. It's an album called Innuendo. It was released in February of 1991. And I remember being excited when this album came out. And what I love about this particular album, it's like an homage back to the heyday of Queen. Mm-hmm. You know, back into that really rich creative period, like 72, 73 to 79. Yeah. 80, like to, about the game, because that's when the kind of the feel of the band, in my opinion, I love right. Queen, right? So in my opinion, that the when they started bringing synthesizers in, remember, if you're a Queen fan like I am, you remember their albums, they used to brag on there, no synthesizers were used in this recording. Mm-hmm. They used to have it on every single record because the layering of Brian May's guitar and the vocals were so intricate and so deep that it sounded like it could be a keyboard or a synthesizer. But then in the 80s, starting with the soundtrack to Flash Gordon, and then The Game, and then the subsequent albums after that, Hot Space and those albums, you know, they started the use of synthesizers. And this album includes those synthesizers as well. But what struck me is the kind of return or the homage back to the layering of the harmony, the vocal harmonies. Mm-hmm. That was something, honestly, for a long time had been missing from Queen's music in the contemporary, what I call the contemporary era, the 90s, right? The late 80s and 90s. Yeah, they still had some harmonies and vocals, but it wasn't, to me, it's just, it's like a cake, like a layer of the cake was missing.
Yeah.
You know, the tier of the cake could have been higher. You know, and maybe because I thought maybe because they're getting older and they just can't sing that, you know, or with the modern production techniques, you know, going or when they just didn't have the time or the patience to go back in and layer those songs, because how they built harmonies, the three of them, because John Deacon didn't sing. So Roger Taylor, Freddie Mercury and Brian May would sing a three part harmony. Then they would double that and then they would triple that. Mm-hmm. And then they go to the next harmony part, double that, triple that, and then put those tracks together. And then so it took so much time, but the result was so incredibly amazing with those harmonies that just, I mean, they spoke to me in a way that no other band has. Those vocal harmonies really did something to me. Like, you know, it was really, to me, a spiritual encounter.
Yeah.
And so this album and some of the songs on here are returned back to that kind of layering. Now, it doesn't sound like, you know, it's not as intricate as the 70s stuff, but it's really nice to hear a number of songs with those rich harmonies that many of us were so used to with Queen's music.
Well, and you know, the thing is, when you think about what happened in the late 80s and then early 90s musically, things, you know, we went through the hair metal movement and rap and, you know, and then into alternative, you know, in the early 90s, all of that stuff was happening around it. So for them to not only go back to their roots and do it right, I mean, songs like Headlong and The Show Must Go On, I mean, those are quintessential Queen anthem songs that you could easily lump them back to their earlier works, and it would have sounded like it's a part of that early catalog. But in the midst of what was also happening in music, it was kind of bold for them to say, hey, we're not going to lose our roots. We know what our fans want. We know who we are. But the thing that I love about this, as you share about this song, is that I know the times when I was not in a place where spirituals or contemporary Christian music even spoke to me. Like I was just I was headstrong, you know, in a place that I was doing my own thing, or I had, you know, I won't, maybe not turned from God, but I was in a place that I just didn't hear him like I think I do now or should have at that time. So it was songs by bands like Queen, The Beatles, you know, whoever else I was listening to, depending upon the age of what I was in my life, from about probably 17 to 25, there was that realm of that. I wasn't listening to a lot of things that I should have, and I was listening to some that I shouldn't. But here's how amazing God is. He speaks our language of where we are. He meets us where we are. And again, not to over-glamorize, oh, now I love that song because it reminds me what God said. It does remind me, but it also reminds me of what I was doing, of why he had to go through another artist or through a song that was more unlikely, so to speak. So again, he will get to you the way he wants to get to you because he knows you better than anyone. But as we do this playlist segment, it's for that reason. It's to talk about, I was in a place that this was happening, and here's how God spoke to me. And again, he uses unlikely things in unlikely places to do unlikely things, right? Because it's all for his will, and it's all in his timing, and it's the way that he knows to communicate to us. You know, Jesus talked, fishermen talked to fishermen. He taught carpentry work to carpenters. He talks music to people who are listening to it and says, here's what I want you to hear from me.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that's why I'm so glad when we're going through these songs that we're not going to over spiritualize it, but talk about what we drew from it,
yeah,
to make our experience of God even deeper and richer.
So this was the top of the list for you, yeah.
Yeah,
so
for me,
as
yeah.
As soon
I mean,
as we talked about it, you said this song.
Right, exactly. It's the first thing I think of because a couple things are going on with this song. First of all, it has that it was the first thing when I first heard the song. It reminded me of Somebody to Love off of Day at the Races, which is that kind of gospel feel.
Yeah.
You know, and so this song has that same kind of gospel feel. Somebody to Love has those really incredible harmonies. All God's People has some really, again, not, I don't think it's as complex or as layered as Somebody to Love, but they're there.
Yeah.
And I was so glad to hear Queen return to that. You know, and then what else was going on? Well, Freddie Mercury knew he was dying. You know, when he was diagnosed with AIDS, with HIV, he did not make it public. He lived with it for several years. And so these latter albums of Queen, you know, they're trying to get as much work out of Freddie Mercury as they could because they knew he wasn't going to live. And I remember during this time, I was so excited because Wayne's World, the movie, had been done very well. And then that you know, that famous scene where they're singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the car,
yep,
you know, lip syncing to Bohemian Rhapsody. And so Queen's popularity rose again in the U.S. and they were talking about touring. I'm like, yes, I'll finally get a chance to see Queen live. Because remember back, there's no YouTube.
Right.
There's no, I mean, the only way I could see Queen live is maybe a MTV, some video or something like that.
That's why Live Aid was such a big deal, you know,
yes,
to watch that many bands on your television.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So now I was so excited. And then the announcement came that he had AIDS and then next day he died. So, So, and thinking about this particular song, I'm thinking, okay, here's someone who knows they're dying. He's not Christian. He's Zoroastrian, which is a Persian religion. He's from Persia. His family's Persian. And so, but I don't think he practiced. I mean, I don't think he practiced any religion really at all. From again, I don't really dig into artist's personal life. I care about the music. But obviously he lived a lifestyle that eventually cost him his life. And so I can't help but think, and I'm not trying to speak for him or what was in his mind at the time, but when you know things are coming to your life is coming to an end, there's a time of, I think, introspection. There's a time of thinking about the meaning of things and the meaning of life and choices and decisions that you've made. And I think his heart, in a sense, began to open. So obviously Made in Heaven, right, which is released after he died, has a songs on there that are definitely more transcendent. But this song, I think, is a beautiful tribute to rec the recognition that there is a supernatural reality that goes beyond us, that is greater than us, and that that our hearts are yearning for, even though I don't think he would have put it like that. But I mean, I think deep down, that's what's going on for, I think, for everyone in a certain way.
And this is also a time when artists were not transparent. They wanted you to have your own takeaway from songs. It's not like today where, they're on every social media platform breaking down every song. This is why I wrote it. This is who it's for. This is who it's to. Like that there's very little room for me to interpret a song anymore. It's like, so again, when you hear a song, it's where you are in the moment. Whether it's the riff that grabs you or the first, I love a song that starts where the first line just punches you in the face, where it's just like, oh, or the chorus gets so catchy that you just can't get it out of your head. So what was it about the lyrical content that about this song that was just a reactor for you?
So the way it starts. So Freddie starts, "Saw you," and all and the whole band goes, "People." I'm like, "Whoa!" The harmonies are back. It just right away, just grabbed me because that's something I've been missing so long from their music. And then they sing most of the rest of that initial verse together, So and the lyrics, "So all you people give freely," right? So speak. And this was a time where we start seeing more of the narcissism in our culture start to creep in, the kind of the emphasis on the self, on the worship of the God of me, myself, and I. So again, I think in introspection, Freddie's like, don't keep your gifts to yourself, give them away. Give freely, make welcome inside your homes, right? Not just welcoming people into your home, but in your hearts, into your life. Those are the kinds of themes I was hearing as I was listening to the song, as I was listening to the lyrics, and it's immersing myself in those really beautiful harmonies.
Well, and for me, I'm with you. Like the harmonies definitely jump out, but the longer the song goes on, especially when you get to the instrumental break, it has that full-on gospel feel. And so you get into, and it's not even so much for me at that point, the lyrical existence, as it is just like when you're in a worship service, or mass even, a song can really speak to you just based on the instrumentation, And that's what I love about music is we have these hymns and these songs that, we've been doing in churches for years, but it's all based on, and you've got those that do it just like what's on the page, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then when you start adding instruments or your band grows and now you've got strings and, horns of any kind, it's just a fantastic thing. But here's something that hit me, and after years of doing worship music, and I know people don't oftentimes are comfortable if you were to go into even a contemporary service or even like at the Eucharistic Congress when you had big worship band on stage for, a week, those songs lend themselves to lifting your hands or closing your eyes and just opening your arms. Think about when your child comes to you when they're little, right? I used to love it when my girls were little and they would, you know, the pitter patter of feet as soon as I'd walk in the door, you know, I knew they were coming, and they would throw their arms up and go, "Dada, up." And I think about that now in worship, that when we throw our arms up to cry to God, we're saying, "Dada, up, you know, pick me up, hold me. You know, I've missed you," you know, all of those things. And so as we talk about these songs of playlist, there's a moment in songs and in music that we're going to God with our hearts and saying, "Daddy, pick me up. You know, I need you."
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I think that's reflected in these next couple of lines where he says, "Thank God, you people, give freely. Don't turn your back on the lesson of the Lord." He's using God and Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've never heard that from Queen before. I mean, yeah, back at a Sheer Heart Attack, they had on the first song on the second side was "In the Lap of the Gods."
Yeah.
And then the last song on that record on the second side is "In the Lap of the Gods Revisited," a kind of a different version of that song. But "In the Lap of the Gods," plural, you know, like pagan is like pagan right. gods or that, but now he's using God and Lord in the way we would understand it as a people of faith. So, you know, to me, again, he's not alive, so I can't ask him, but you know, something is stirring in there. Maybe those arms are starting to reach up now that he knows that his time is short. You know, I hope. Maybe he's just hedging his bets, you know, right. You know, who knows? But I think there's something in the human heart that's longing, right? That pull, that wanting to be part of a family, wanting to be something larger than yourself, even though you may not believe in God, but recognizing, you know, these things that I'm witnessing just don't happen by circumstance, just don't happen by chance, you know? And he's saying, don't turn your back on the lessons of the Lord, the Beatitudes, right? From the Sermon on the Mount, the Last Supper discourse. You know, Jesus is teaching, and he's saying, "Don't turn your back on those lessons that the Lord is teaching us."
Yeah.
Then he says, "All prime ministers and majesty around the world." We just heard in Psalm 98, "All you nations, search the Lord," and so he's recognizing that. This is not just something personal. What does he say to them? "Open your eyes, look, touch, and feel." And on that feel, Roger Taylor is hitting that really high screechy note like he used to do back, like that at the end of Bohemian Rhapsody, "For me," that really high note. Mm-hmm. He hits that same kind of note when they sing that line, "Open your eyes, look, touch and feel," and he just hits that note like, yes, you could feel it.
Yeah.
So it's not just the lyrics saying, "Okay, all you prime minister people around the world, pay attention," right? You know, to what's going on in front of you here. You know, focusing on the people that you are called to serve in leadership, but when he says, "Look at touch and feel," you can actually feel that.
Yeah.
And I think that was intentional in that song.
Well, and the thing that I love, too, like if you were just to take the lyrics of this song and slap Matt Maher, Toby Mac, Casting Crowns, whatever, and you never heard this version, right, you would never even question what this song might actually be about because you know the heart of the artist, right? But the thing I will say that I always have loved about secular artists is you don't always know where they are or they stand because they're asking questions or they're digging into any kind of understanding that they may have of no matter how big or small, right? And I think that's the thing that I always like to take away is that God is big enough for my questions. He doesn't scurry away. "Oh, I'm not ready to answer that," or "You're not ready to understand that." Now, he may wait because I'm not ready to understand that. But he's God. He can decide that, not me. But I keep pressing or keep seeking him till I find that out. But that's what I love about a lot of secular artists, because we don't necessarily always know where they are spiritually, but they're asking the question.
Yes.
And that's why the song comes and speaks to us, is because I've thought to ask that same question.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think, in a sense, Freddie Mercury was encouraging the people with influence in the world,
Yes.
To recognize that fact, right? He says, open your eyes, look, touch, and feel. Rule with your heart, live with your conscience. What? That's awesome. Rule with your heart, live with your conscience. Because headship, leadership, and authority is rooted in service, right? And he said, and he says, love and be free. We're all God's people. Love and be free. The freedom that comes from the love of God, right? That's where our true freedom is.
Yep.
Love and be free, right? I love that. So love brings forth life, but love also brings forth freedom. When you rule with your heart, rule with your conscience, not with greed, not with an agenda, not with avarice, not with resentment, but as we always talk about, lead with love. 1 John 4:16, God is love, and he who lives in love lives in God and God lives in him. I love that. That this part of that song really speaks to me, these lyrics.
Yeah, and the thing too, at a time when you think about, as we tie it into Freddie Mercury and his lifestyle and what ultimately took his life, it was a scary time. So a song like this at that time also made a huge statement. It was not only the band's understanding of immortality, but it was the world coming to terms with immortality because we didn't know, you know, a lot about AIDS. We didn't know a lot about HIV, and we were losing our friends and people we knew, and because we didn't know their lifestyle and the things that they did that led to that. So there was this awakening of, oh, well, that can lead to that, and this can also lead to that. You know, there were so many layers of what was happening in the world, and then you start adding in all that was happening out in, you know, the racial stuff and how the music of the rap era was also reflective of the confusion and the turmoil and all of that. So this song is making a statement on so many levels, not even politically, but just do you understand who you are in this world because God made you? And so I love that he was coming to terms with that at the end in the hopes that he also had a chance to have that reconciliation with God. That's my hope as a fan, or just as a person, but as a fan, I definitely hope that happened.
Yeah, and there's so you're, this is Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and you're listening on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're doing a new feature of Beacon of Truth. It's called the Beacon of Truth Playlist. So Ace and I are going to be taking songs that we enjoyed, that have meant a lot to us, that have kind of spiritual lyrics or spiritual theme to it. And again, we're not trying to over spiritualize it, but we're talking about how we can draw a deeper relationship with God through our enjoyment and listening, and our own sense kind of self analyzing, you know, these songs and what they meant to us. And to go back to your point, I think there is a sense of spiritual maturity here. He says, gotta face up, better grow up. Gotta stand tall, be strong. You know, gotta stand up, gotta face up, better grow up. So again, this maturity, you know, that almost as if ruling in the way that we, back in the early 90s, the way things were happening, there was a lack of maturity, spiritual maturity there. And so I think he was calling for that, you know, a kind of this clarion call to have a mature understanding of what it means to be a ruler, what it means to be a person of influence. Because because I mean, people make decisions about their lives based on information they're getting from influencers.
Sure.
That's scary.
Right.
They're not basing decisions based on Jesus, who's God.
Yeah.
These influencers aren't God, you know. So I think this is a wonderful call and a wonderful reminder to people of influence that their mission is not just to open their mouths and speak, but to relate a deeper message, a message of, as it says in the lyrics, love and freedom and truth and beauty and all the transcendentals. I think that's extremely important, not just for leaders, but for all of us to understand.
Agreed. Well, and I think too, as you listen to music, I hope as we talk about these songs, that you realize when you're listening to a song, why does it give you that chill bump up the back of your neck? Because again, Holy Spirit promptings through music is a way that God needs to penetrate through the layers that are stubborn and all those things. So meditation within music is where we can oftentimes find God waiting for us.
Amen. Well, tomorrow is Wednesday. That means it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're going to take a look at the gospel for this Sunday. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37 on humility. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting PodcastCentral at ewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, the Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.